Okay, yeah, no, so it's Mark Cruz, and I'm the CEO of Trevally Mining Corp.
There's been some movement on the upswing in the last few months. Tell me how you see the general sector playing out.
Yeah, for sure, Chris. Really, Trevally, we're a little bit unique in that we're the only pure, I guess, zinc producer, or most leveraged to zinc on the TSX. So we have one mine in production in Peru we can get into in a bit more detail, and we're currently commissioning our second mine in New Brunswick. But really, for us, we produce three concentrates or three products, zinc, lead, and silver, with, like I said, most of our exposure to zinc, then lead, and ultimately silver. Zinc, you know, of all the base metals, is a little bit unique in that there are, you know, have been anticipated some major supply constraints forthcoming, really from the end of this year and onwards. So certainly, you know, we're starting to see that come into play now. Most specifically, there are two very large mines, one in Ireland called Lachine and the other in Australia called Century Mine, that are scheduled to finish basically by the end of the year. So certainly November will be the end of concentrate shipping from both of those mines, and that will take about 500,000 tons of zinc out of the market, and probably anticipate that starting to bite in the first half of 2016. Mm-hmm. Really, to put that into context, there's about 580,000 tons of zinc in the warehouses at this point in time. So pretty much that will be, you know, that warehouse overhang gone. Now, in tandem with that, Glencore, the world's largest zinc miner and trader, announced major cutbacks from zinc production basically about 2 weeks ago, just at the start of LME week in London. Mm-hmm. And really, they are basically taking an additional 500,000 tons of production out of the market as well, really to try and, you know, I guess, well, it certainly should support the overall price going forward. And if anything else, perhaps, you know, move those drawdowns a little bit quicker as well. So ultimately, you know, very good for the sector as a whole, and of which, you know, Trevally will clearly benefit as a, you know, zinc producer.
Now, obviously, the undersupply that's coming has been a known issue for some time, and yet zinc, along with every other metal, let's face it, has suffered some pretty severe price drops over the last year. Do you think the market just is flat out ignoring the future element of zinc as they buy and sell right now?
Yeah, listen, I think, you know, people understandably and naturally are concerned about, you know, whether, you know, China's obviously the main end recipient of pretty much most commodities at this point in time. And I think there are concerns and genuine concerns of whether it will be a, you know, a hard or soft landing. Certainly what we're hearing after LME week, you know, the general consensus will be that it's more likely to be a soft landing. And certainly, you know, infrastructure should pick up towards the end of this year and onwards into next year. And even stepping back, I mean, I think you're getting kind of, you know, perhaps some kind of more hedge funds kind of, you know, playing in commodity space, which is fine, which probably skewing it both directions, obviously skewed it down over the summer for most parts. But specifically looking at zinc, I mean, there was record zinc imports into China of concentrates in July and August. And already September is, you know, looking to be another record month as well. So what that's telling you is certainly, you know, Chinese domestic mines can't keep up with local demand, mm-hmm. and local smelter demand. So if you certainly step back and look at the fundamentals, actually, the market's pretty healthy. We will start to see drawdowns, and as those deficits cut in, I mean, I think, you know, regardless, I mean, you should see prices strengthening. Now, where they may go is anyone's guess, but certainly, you know, as we saw last week just on Glencore's announcement, mm-hmm. Zinc can pop, and when it pops pretty hard. And fortunately for us, and it goes both ways, given our exposure to zinc, we have a lot of torque. Clearly that's very nice when prices are going up, but it does work against us as well when they fall, which mm-hmm. is obviously what happened over the summer period.
Right. So obviously, you know, the general consensus is that as goes gold, so goes silver. Is there a comparable metal that sort of serves as a bellwether to zinc's futures?
Well, I suppose, you know, of the base metals, it's probably most closely linked to copper. So obviously copper is a good, you know, I guess, bellwether of global GDP. Although that said, unlike copper, I mean, it tends to have a bit more of a kind of urbanization use as well. So obviously, heavy infrastructure, absolutely, anti-corrosion properties, automobiles. So certainly, you know, looking at automobile sales or construction, zinc will be a major end component in that, and just for its galvanizing properties. You know, what we're seeing out of China, even September, slowed down over the summer, but automobile construction and sales have picked up again quite dramatically so far this month. And one of the things we're seeing is, in general, like a lot of, you know, I guess, developing economies, historically, I guess, you know, cars in China didn't have the same galvanizing properties as kind of probably more Western world ones. Mm-hmm. And certainly they're starting to move towards those standards now. Effectively, they were rusting out a bit early. And clearly, you know, people are demanding higher quality products. And as they get more affluent as well, they can afford to pay for them. So certainly auto sales picking up is a good thing. And obviously moving to more, I guess, developed nation construction and galvanizing targets as well should also use up more zinc metal going forward.
So shareholders of Trevally on October 1 managed to take a ride from 33 cents up to a double, basically, in a couple of days. Would you expect that there'd be similar news to the Glencore news going forward that may serve as additional catalysts for you guys to move your share price?
Listen, that's a hard one to call. I think, you know, the big thing to look out for, even short term, is, I mean, there's a lot of skepticism in the market, but I mean, I think the actual, you know, announcement from both the Century Mine and Lachine that the last concentrate ship and truck respectively have left the mine gates, I mean, that's mm-hmm. going to be pretty significant. After that, what you would like to see or look for was accelerated drawdowns from the LME warehouses. So showing that, okay, you know, these mines have closed, it's actually starting to have a supply crunch and the smelters are starting to draw down more material because they're worried mm-hmm. about future supply. So, you know, from what we're seeing now, and who knows, I would expect more of a, you know, steady drawdown, although, you know, that could happen quite fast as well. Certainly in the 05 zinc, I guess, bull run, I mean, really, you know, those warehouses drew down in about a four to six weeks, and the prices responded accordingly, and, you know, ultimately topping out at about $2 a pound or $4,000 a ton. So, like I said, when it does run, it can run pretty dramatically. You know, certainly the Glencore announcement was out of the blue. Who knows about the other major zinc producers if they're contemplating that? Probably not, in fairness. So I think it'll be more of a, you know, watching the fundamentals, looking at those warehouse stockpiles and seeing what the drawdown levels are. We're currently at about 21 days. Historically, zinc tends to strengthen significantly, and it's historic, so who knows, mm-hmm. typically when you get down to the kind of 3-week or 15-day mark. So not too far away, but nevertheless, it needs to certainly get to those levels first. And hopefully then we should start seeing, you know, appreciable strengthening from, you know, there on outwards.
Certainly looking at the warehouse levels from just the last couple of years, you're looking at basically a 75% reduction in what's being held. It's a pretty strong drop considering the price drop went along with it.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think it was oversupplied. I mean, I think at one stage it was about 1.3, 1.4 million tons. So, I mean, mm-hmm. there really was a very major overhang, and it just takes time to work through that. But like I said, certainly of all the base metals, short term, you know, coming from LME week, zinc and its sister metal, lead, were probably the most favored short to medium term. Obviously, copper more medium term, but that seemed to be the general consensus from basically the producers, the end users, the smelters, and the various kind of commodity focus groups and forecasters.
Got it. So let's talk about Trevally in more specific terms. You've certainly got a lot on the go right now. Your operations in Canada and Peru be drawing a lot of your time. But things that in Peru specifically seem to be running pretty hot. Tell me a little bit about what's going on down there.
Yeah, so certainly Peru, we've been pretty fortunate. We've been active in Peru since 2008. Really, our Santander project started production, effectively commercial production, almost 2 years ago now. Mm-hmm. It was a joint development with our partners, Glencore International, although we do own 100% of the asset. But really what their participation allowed, and their large shareholders in the company, it allowed us to kind of fast track it and get it to production a little bit faster and certainly cheaper than you know, anticipated. As a result of that, really, and kind of more introducing more kind of I guess, Canadian mining patterns and ground support underground. We've managed to, you know, have a very effective operation there. It is only 2,000 tons per day, but certainly we increased guidance in our first year of production, and we increased guidance again this year, specifically in lead and silver. One of the things are all the deposits do remain open for expansion. And certainly some of the targets we did previously recognize from surface, we couldn't really drill test them effectively until we were underground in the first year. We just needed to get deeper in the system. Mm-hmm. And some of those more lead-silver-rich zones are now actually hitting the mill. So what our exploration team has done is, in less than a 12-month period, taken an exploration success and turned it effectively into mineral field feed, which, you know, like I said, resulted in pretty material increases in the amount of lead and silver we'll kick out this year. So, you know, we previously thought we'd do about 700,000 ounces of silver, but we'll be close to a million, maybe slightly above a million ounces payable this year. Mm-hmm. And like I said, everything remains open. We keep drilling and we keep certainly extending the mineral system. So hopefully at some point, contingent on metal prices and obviously more drilling, it may make sense to actually even, you know, increase production as well, you know, going forward when, you know, whenever that may make sense.
I remember a few years back, Trevally has been working with Stockhouse for some time. I remember when Santander was first being commissioned, you know, the markets were starting to lean a little bit. It was starting to maybe become a little bit harder to get mines up. And there might have been a little bit of a, you know, thinking out there that it's Peru, it's a new mine, you know, maybe there's something to step back and watch to see if it actually happens. But you guys have killed it. You just put out some record results, production increases. At what point does the current price of zinc make the mine unsustainable? Or can you, being in Peru, does that really not become an issue?
No, obviously, ultimately an issue at the moment. I mean, certainly, you know, and it's in our quarterlies, but when we started out producing, obviously, you know, you're starting out, our all-in costs were about $50, $55 per ton. Mm-hmm. What the team, as you become familiar with it, just get more efficient, what the team has dropped pretty much quarter on quarter has dropped our prices down pretty dramatically. So certainly, you know, last reported quarter, Q2, we were down to about $45 to $46 bucks a ton. And we anticipate, you know, maybe some more modest savings going forward. So certainly, based on our benchmarking, I think we certainly are a lower quartile producer in the central mineral belt in Peru, if not one of the lowest producers there at the moment. So certainly, we're probably better positioned to weather any price downturns than most other producers in the district. And, you know, even at current prices, I mean, not making a lot of money, but, you know, obviously it's covering all costs and throwing off a very modest return as well, which is, you know, we're pretty impressed with. But like I said, I mean, the main thing for us is, you know, getting a position, getting it de-risked, which we clearly have. Mm-hmm. And when those zinc prices run is just, you know, obviously that's when the real value add happens. And that's, you know, from what we're hearing, from what we're seeing, that's probably going to be a 2016 event. But obviously we'll monitor it very closely.
Because it's something that's been spoken of in not so harsh terms for the last year or so. It's very clear that you know, the oversupply days are done. For an investor looking to get into the market at the premium possible time, the charts for zinc and for Trevally appear to be at that place where it's just starting to lip upwards. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I mean, over the summer we were kind of delinked for a little bit, but then effectively, I mean, we move in tandem with zinc. I mean, it's pretty much a one-to-one correlation. I guess the only difference is based on our tracking and some of the analyst coverage is we've got obviously better torque. So, you know, what we're seeing is roughly a 3-time torque to zinc. So if zinc's up a penny, our kind of, you know, basically our NAV is about 3+3. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, but like I said, when zinc runs, it runs pretty fast. So sometimes you can miss it pretty quickly. You know, we're obviously clearly biased, but certainly when we're sold down to 32 cents, that seemed an overreaction in our opinion. Mm-hmm. But obviously, clearly the market makes up its own mind and acts accordingly. You know, that's kind of where we are at the moment.
And so on top of that, you're also commissioning the Cariboo Zinc Mine at in New Brunswick. How's the progress on that?
It's going very well. So certainly, you know, we took a lot of the lessons we learned from Peru, and effectively, you know, we had the Peruvian mill up and running in effectively 6, maybe 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we adapted, you know, lessons learned from there to Cariboo. We've got a pretty experienced team out there. We're very fortunate in that a lot of our employees and contractors are ex-Brunswick 12, which was a very large zinc mine that closed about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So more or less when we were getting into the project. And so a lot of the ops teams pretty much seamlessly, more or less, transitioned over from that very large Xstrata mine. So certainly massive de-risk on our part. Really, you know, we started a sequential startup. It is more complicated, the metallurgy. So what we did was we decided we'd take it slow and easy, more conservative approach. So we started up late June, early July, started up the zinc circuit, got comfort with that. August started up the lead, and we're just trying to, you know, stabilize them at this point in time. But certainly to put it into context, you know, when fully de-risked, commissioned, our zinc recoveries are anticipated to be 84-85%. We're already pushing kind of 70, high 70s to 80%. And lead recovery should be in the kind of 62 to 65% range, and we're kind of high 50s to 60s. We are producing saleable concentrates already. Our partner, Glencore, is buying them off us, and we're delivering them to their lead smelter in Beldoon, only 60 kilometers up the road, so you certainly couldn't ask for better infrastructure.
Nice.
And then obviously they're placing the zinc within their smelting unit as well. So not quite there yet, but, you know, not far off. So originally, we thought it would take us until mid-2016 to announce commercial production. Based on progress to date, it looks like it could be significantly ahead of schedule. But we are giving monthly updates. So, you know, obviously on a monthly basis, we'll obviously continue to put that news out there just so everyone's aware of how it's going. But, yeah, so far, so good. Very pleased. Like I said, a little bit ahead of schedule. So we may try and move and bring in our copper circuit a bit early as well, because we will produce reasonable amounts of copper gold concentrate too, which certainly will help the bottom line.
Certainly. So you're getting 90% recovery in Santander right now, is that correct, on zinc?
Yeah, so again, we take a conservative approach. When we designed the mill, we thought it would be about 85% recovery for zinc lead, high 60s, 70s for silver. Mm-hmm. But the Santander mill is working exceptionally well. So we're getting high 80s to 90% recovery for both zinc and lead, and high 70s to 80s for silver. So pretty much you're approaching, you know, theoretical limits or pretty close to it for the ore, for the mineral type in Peru. Mm-hmm. Now, it is coarser than what we're dealing with in Canada. But like I said, based on our experience, I think, you know, when the guys get used to the feed type, I think we'll probably exceed recoveries modestly in Canada as well. But you know, first we need to get there first and then look at all those little optimization tricks we've picked up along the way. But we do see significant room for improvement. Just based on our experiences to date and how things are behaving in the mill. But like I said, it is a stage process. It doesn't happen overnight, so you just need to keep working on it and keep focused on it, and then certainly we will get there.
Well, certainly commissioning a mine in a down market is not the easiest thing to do. It's not the easiest thing to do in the best of markets, but clearly the experience that you've drawn from Peru is playing well for you in Canada. Tell me, the money saving that you get from digging it out of the ground in Peru, is that offset by the transport costs that you save by digging it up in Canada?
Not really. I mean, in fairness, I mean, it's much for much. And certainly in Canada, obviously, the weaker local currency, the loonie, definitely helps us. You know, all our costs in Canada are obviously in Canadian dollars, and we're paid in US dollars. So big FX bonus, like all the Canadian producers. So that certainly does offset a lot of the current commodity weakness, which is great. But in Peru, even then, we just transport it to the port of Lima. It is a little bit longer, but not fundamentally. It's a bit of a trade-off. So certainly, you know, when Caribou is fully commissioned up and running, you know, on a revenue basis, we will kick out probably about twice as much metal. It's a bigger mill in Canada, about 3,000 tons versus 2,000, and it's actually higher grade material as well.
Okay.
So, you know, even already in Canada, even though we're not fully commissioned, we're throwing out as much concentrates or as more slightly than what we produce in Peru on a monthly basis. So, you know, all things being equal, on a production basis, it'll be about two-thirds Canada, one-third Peru. But obviously costs are a little bit lower in Canada. It'll probably be about 60-40 on revenue, you know, using long-term prices, broadly speaking.
Right. And the future prospects beyond those two mines, you have other properties in pocket right now, in the Half Mile Mine, the Stratmat, Rutan, and Huampar in Peru. What's next on the block once New Brunswick is up and running?
Yeah, I mean, we're currently, listen, we'd like to be a bit more aggressive on exploration, but obviously we're, cognizant of, commodity prices and
sure.
market conditions. But nevertheless, we do have a reasonably aggressive underground drill program ongoing at the moment in Peru. We have been releasing results out of that, and we've been getting some, what we think are spectacular results underneath the known mineralization. So certainly in Peru, at this point in time, it appears that, the zones we're mining are getting bigger and perhaps slightly higher grade as we get deeper, which is good. It also seems, based on geophysics we did in 2010, it looked like, geophysically they wanted to join into one body at depth. And based on our latest drill results we released, certainly that appears to be the case. And we'll keep releasing those results ongoing throughout the year. So definitely ongoing exploration in Peru. That will be ongoing next year as well. Depending on commodity prices, we'd like to up the ante on that as well. Because globally, we've got about 20 million tons in Peru.
Mm-hmm.
And from what we see there, let's see, and this is a forward-looking statement, but I think, there is a reasonable possibility that we could probably, at some point going forward, certainly there's the potential to obviously add the same again, we believe. Now, it needs
mm-hmm.
a lot of drilling, but it is a very, very large system. It's completely open. We haven't found the bottom of it yet at all. And we've been, drilling it since 2008. So lots of upside in Peru. Canada-wise, Caribou itself is still open. So currently we've got a global resource of about 10 million tons. We only have 6 million tons of that in the current mine plan. So we do have a 10,000-meter program going at the moment, just getting up and running. And the idea is to convert, some of those remaining tons, the kind of 3.5-4 million tons, not in the current mine plan, drill them off in a bit more detail, get a bit more confidence in them, and start moving them into the mine plan. So certainly kind of starting to extend that mine plan stretch by stretch. The deposit remains open at depth as well. It should be fully dewatered in about another month. So certainly at some point the idea would be to drill it out from underground and obviously continue to add tons. There is a reasonable potential to add some more tons as well underneath Caribou itself.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they're the lowest risk tons because you're delivering it into infrastructure you've already got in place and you've de-risked. So that's the best bang for our buck we see. Meanwhile, we are also advancing our half mile and strat map deposits. Half mile's got a global resource of about 12 million tons, strat mat about 7.5. And one of the things we're looking at is updating a historic PEA and really just seeing if, does it make sense at some point in the future to build a second mill complex to handle both the half mile and strat mat deposits? And obviously that's going to be taking a view on commodity prices. And obviously CapEx as well. So we just need to do the work, and we will update that report. And the nice thing about it is we'll be able to use hard costs from our underground mining at Caribou.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be a reasonably accurate, whether it makes sense or not, it's another debate, but certainly the data going in will be reasonably accurate. And if that doesn't make sense, then we can look at scheduling it in. Okay, well, whenever we mine out the Caribou deposit, maybe then we look at extending the Caribou mill or extending the Caribou mill life another 10, 20 years, whatever the number is. But certainly, they will become into a mine plan at some point. So we just need to look at the various options that are open to us. So that's kind of what we're working on at the moment. Really, they are the key properties. So certainly, brownfields or growth on our current one producing mine, soon to be two. And then near-term kind of basically synergies from the kind of pretty sizable satellites we have that are half-mile and strat-mat to our Caribou operations and team there.
Mm-hmm. So basically I'm looking at your share price for the last several years, and, if someone had got in just a year ago, they'd be paying double what they paid for now, with a lot more speculation thrown in and a lot less production. Being as you've delivered on your promises over the last year, the last 2 years, we'd indicate that maybe this is a real value time to buy into something that's not got a whole lot of risk attached to it beyond the global commodity price.
I think this, I'm very happy we got a great team. I'm certainly, everything we can control, we've controlled very well. And certainly, we've delivered or over-delivered, we'd argue. But nevertheless, we're not immune to global winds either.
Sure.
So that's just the way it is. And that's fine. But I think for us, the main thing is continue de-risking, obviously just to make sure that the company is well-placed. Obviously, it is a cycle. It looks like zinc will probably come out of the current doldrums before any other base metal. based on what we're seeing and based on supply fundamentals. So really for us, it's get the company positioned, get it as much technically de-risked as possible, and then when zinc runs, you just kind of rip it out as fast as you can. And
right.
Certainly, like I said, we're the only pure zinc producer, so over 50%, you know, of our exposure is zinc listed in the TSX. So certainly if zinc runs, you would imagine it's good. Yeah, there's various ways to play zinc names, but we're the most upfront and probably have the most torque to the commodity as well.
So I'm always impressed by companies in this space that actually get something from exploration to a functioning mine. It seems to happen so infrequently these days. Do you almost wish that there was a separation between, you know, the greater mining sector, which seems to be so much based upon speculation, and the delivering mining sector?
To be honest, I think the current markets are making that separation pretty hard. I mean, it's tough times for everyone out there.
Yeah.
You know, certainly, yeah, I think, you know, yeah. I mean, I think good management teams will always get backed and will always get noticed, or people who mm-hmm. deliver, no matter what the commodity or sector. So I think, to be honest, the market's almost self-correcting to a certain extent, and that's fine. That's just kind of natural selection. So that's kind of where we are at the moment. But, you know, it is what it is. But like I said, we're just keeping our heads down, doing what we can do and continue to deliver. But certainly, I mean, I think the credibility factor, I mean, you know, when the world's largest zinc miner, the world's largest zinc smelter is your partner and
mm-hmm.
Works with you to get projects up and doing and, you know, owns 5% of the company, that probably tells you something.
I would imagine so. Along those lines, any speculation or any movement towards maybe bigger fish looking at your current share position and saying that's an acquisition prospect?
Oh, listen, no. I mean, listen, we just don't – well, from a technical perspective, regardless of, you know, current market conditions, I mean, really, you know, the main focus for us is to get Cariboo fully de-risked. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, it's that simple. Because if that doesn't work or takes longer, we're in trouble. I mean, it's not a good place to be. So clearly the main focus of the whole team is get Cariboo up and running. Listen, we think, I mean, yeah, there are some interesting projects out there. But even for us, we don't do early stage. We don't do grassroots. We're looking at something, you know, where our real niche is, and what we've proven is we can take something from exploration and get into production in probably a faster timetable than most companies. So we look
mm-hmm.
at something and go, well, okay, we got a 2 or 3 year window. Can we actually have concentrate coming out the door in 2 or 3 years? Because unless we can take advantage of the next zinc run, we're a small company, we're not that interested.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as the company grows, if we're still about or whatever, then maybe we can take a longer term view. But certainly for now, it's just, you know, near term fundamental value is what we're looking at.
I would imagine that when the market's in a more macro sense, but as well, the zinc market does return to where it should be. And it would, you know, from what you've been saying, there's no doubt in my mind that it should get there sometime soon. A company like yours that's managed to make ends meet and even thrive at the bottom end of that market should do some great things at the top.
Yeah, listen, we'd certainly like to think so. I mean, we've taken our hard lumps, but like I said, no different from any other company. But no, I mean, listen, there are some interesting assets out there, and we really like Peru, and we think it's a great jurisdiction. We've got a good team there and very good contacts. So certainly, you know, Peru is definitely a growth area for us. Canada is tough. I mean, just there's infrastructural challenges. So there's, you know, fantastic, you know, I call it polymetallic zinc resources out there. But
mm-hmm.
certainly, you know, if it's the middle of high Arctic or ultra remote, that's certainly not for us. I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
not who we are. So, you know, like I said, we like Latin America. We really like Peru. But although we have worked elsewhere in our careers as well. So, I mean, it just, if it makes financial and technical sense, we'll certainly look at it. But definitely it has to be something with near-term value so we can unlock it, or certainly unlock our skill sets and bring something to the table.
Well, good job. I would say to people listening to this, take a good long look at that stock chart and do the mental math that a year ago you would have got half a functioning mine or a just functioning mine for double the price, and now you've got two with the prospect of others. It seems like a pretty good deal. If zinc does stay where it is, you're profitable as things stand?
Yeah, no, certainly at the moment. I mean, our Q3s will be out soon, so there's only so much I can say. But no, mm-hmm. at this point in time, I mean, we're very pleased with our Peruvian operation. I mean, clearly we're still commissioning Cariboo.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, we are ahead of schedule, and the mill is working well. We're getting the recoveries, and yeah, we're significantly ahead on that as well. So we see no reason why that shouldn't be the case at this point in time.
And if zinc does go on a run, do you have the plan B ready to go where you raise a bunch of money and start going out there like a madman?
No. Well, we have plan Bs, but what we're looking at is kind of anyway, different type of structure, but certainly yeah, we shouldn't need to kind of go out there and kind of put our nose in the trough to raise that much money.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. Well, this is Mark Cruz, CEO of Trevally, talking to Chris Parry at Stockhouse. Thank you very much for your time, Mark. It's been excellent.
That's great. Cheers, Chris. Appreciate it as always.
We'll talk again soon.
All right, go easy. Bye now.